Hare Krishna, good morning. First of all, I would like to know if somebody does not speak English, only Russian. Okay, is there some translation who can translate into Russian simultaneously? Is it possible? Yeah? Can you go maybe a little bit in the corner so not to disturb the others? Thank you very much. Please, everybody feel free who does not understand sufficient English to go in that direction. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram caiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam datujim mudiriyet nashtapayeshu apatrishu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutamashloke vakti bhavatinayushtike umakyana timirandasya gananjana shalakya shukshumintamina tasma shri gurave namah Vanchakalpatarupyaschakipasinubhiyaivacha Patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Govata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Excuse me please. So today in Srimad Bhagavatam class we continue to hear from Jada Bharat how he's instructing King Rahugana in the matter of the forest of material enjoyment. So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the material world and the living entity that comes down into the material world trying to enjoy is compared to a merchant that goes in the forest in order to get some cheap goods there, which he can sell later on for a very high price in order to have some comforts and everything, enjoy life. So in this particular verse today, we will hear something about sex life, illicit sex life. So we'll see. After that, actually, I want to say a little bit about Srila Prabhupada, because today is the commemoration day of ISKCON. Today, Srila Prabhupada, several years ago, he founded ISKCON, a society. And I felt so inspired to say something to that, I don't know. So therefore I want to humbly beg all the assembled devotees, who are much more elevated than me, of course, to kindly bless me with their well wishes so that I may say something for everybody's benefit. And be able to represent Magu Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and Srila Vyasadev purely. Okay, so we start with a verse. Because it is in prose form, it's without a meter, I'll just read it, and also then we can chant together the word for word translation, and then later I will translate and read the purport. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 5, chapter 14, verse 9. Kvachit chavat yaupam yaya pramadaya ruham arupitas tatkala rarasa gharani bhuta ivasadhu mayado garasvalakshu pidiktivata atirarasvalamatiyana vijanati. Kvachit. Sometimes. Cha. Also. Vatya aumya aupamyaya. Compared to whirlwind. Pramadaya. By a beautiful woman. Aruham arupitaha. Raised onto the lap for sex enjoyment. Tatkala rajasa. By the passion of lusty desires at that moment. Rajani Bhuta, the darkness of night. Eva, like Asadu Mayada, who is without proper respect for the higher witnesses. Rajavala Aksha, blinded by strong lusty desires. Api, certainly, Dik Devata, the demigods in charge of different directions, like the sun and the moon. Ati Raja Balamatihi, whose mind is overcome by lust. Na Vijanati, he does not know that witnesses all around take note of his impudent sexual act. Translation in Purple Pace Vangais, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sometimes, as if blinded by the dust of a whirlwind, the conditioned soul sees the beauty of the opposite sex, which is called Pramada. Being thus bewildered, he is raised upon the lap of a woman, and at that time his good senses are overcome by the force of passion. He thus becomes almost blind with lusty desires and disobeys the rules and regulations governing sex life. He does not know that his disobedience is witnessed by different demigods, and he enjoys illicit sex in the dead of night, not seeing the future punishment awaiting him. Should we repeat it together? Maybe it's very nice. Huh? Sometimes, as if blinded by the dust of a whirlwind, the conditioned soul sees the beauty of the opposite sex, which is called Pramada. Being thus bewildered, he is raised upon the lap of a woman. And at that time, his good senses are overcome by the force of passion. He thus becomes almost blind with lusty desire and disobeys the rules and regulations governing sex life. He does not know that his disobedience is witnessed by different demigods, and he enjoys illicit sex in the dead of night, not seeing the future punishment awaiting him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 7:11, it is said, Dhamma virutho bhuteshu kamosmi paratashapa. Sex is allowed only for the begetting of children, not for enjoyment. One can indulge in sex to beget a good child for the benefit of the family, society, and world. Otherwise, sex is against the rules and regulations of religious life. A materialistic person does not believe that everything is managed in nature, and he does not know that if one does something wrong, he is witnessed by different demigods. A person enjoys illicit sex, and due to his blind, lusty desire, he thinks that no one can see him. But this illicit sex is thoroughly observed by the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the person is punished in so many ways. Presently in Kali Yuga, there are many pregnancies due to illicit sex, and sometimes abortions ensue. These sinful activities are witnessed by the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the man and the woman who create such a situation are punished in the future by the stringent laws of material nature. 7:14. Illicit sex is never excused, and those who indulge in it are punished life after life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 16:20, Asurim yunim apana mudha janmani janmani mamma prapyaiva kauntya tatoyantya dhamangatim. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demonic life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not allow anyone to act against the stringent laws of material nature. Therefore, illicit sex is punished life after life. Illicit sex creates pregnancies, and these unwanted pregnancies lead to abortion. Those involved become implicated in these sins, so much so that they are punished in the same way the next life. Thus, in the next life, they also enter the womb of a mother and are killed in the same way. All these things can be avoided by remaining on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one does not commit sinful activity. Illicit sex is the most prominent sin due to lusty desire. When one associates with the mode of passion, he is implicated in suffering life after life. So these are a little bit strong words. First of all, I want to say that because here in the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that lusty men and women are engaged in this sex life. Particularly, it's mentioned about the man who is raised upon the lap of a woman. That does not exactly mean that women are bad, naturally, from the nature. But what is outlined in this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam is the desire to control and enjoy material world, or lust, in other words, which culminates in sex life, that this is actually the evil. And Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita, and later on I will also come to that. Thank you very much for reminding me. I really have that tendency, I'm sorry. Okay, so during my preparation, I read in the introduction to this chapter already some points that are again repeated in that verse. So therefore, I would like to again read these points. This is the material disease. This actually, this is one lecture from Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur on 7th canto, 9th chapter 24. This is the material disease. Krishna, Bulia, Jiva, Bhoga, Vanchakare. So this Bhoga, Vancha are different degrees. One man is satisfied having a family. 3-4 men. He thinks, I have become master. But other is not satisfied. Other wants, no. Why a family? I must be master of a society or a community or a nation. So Brahma is also the same thing, same degree. Not same degree, different degree, but the desire is how to become master. That disease is there. So then, therefore we hear that due to this enjoying spirit, the jiva, whose consciousness originally is pure, is of the same quality as God's consciousness, becomes bewildered by the influence of the modes of material nature, so much so that he doesn't care for future suffering, as we hear in this verse. He just sees the present moment, like a child. The child sometimes he sees, there's some sweet. I want that sweet now. So that's basically his one level of lusty desires. Of course, there are much more different levels, but this is a little bit simplified. the way that lust attracts us and pulls us down into material consciousness. If you see some sense objects and we think that, yes, we will derive pleasure from enjoying that sense object, but actually our position as spirit soul, as part and parcel of Krishna's body, basically, and we are not entitled to be the enjoyer. Srila Prabhupada very often gives the example, and just as, for example, the hand. The hand is meant to serve the whole body. need to work, then need to go and chop some vegetables or something, cook something, and then nourish the stomach. And by following this whole procedure, the hand also gains the ultimate benefit by becoming nourished. So therefore, it's very important to understand properly the position of the jiva and the position of Ishvara. Otherwise, one comes under the influence of the senses, and in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains some kind of hierarchy. He says that the senses of the living entity are higher than matter. But above the senses, there's the mind, and above the mind is the intelligence. But above the intelligence, the different levels, there's the spirit soul. So actually we are meant to be ruling our mind, intelligence, senses. This means to have some kind of self-discipline. And in this way we can actually enjoy freedom. So, but here in this verse we hear that when a person loses his intelligence due to attachment to wife and sex, his entire consciousness becomes polluted. And he thus only thinks of the association of women. Srila Prabhupada, in a purport to Bhagavad Gita 3:39, purport, he says that it is said in the Manusmriti that lust cannot be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment. Just as fire is never extinguished by a constant supply of fuel, in the material world, the center of all activities is sex, and thus this material world is called Maitunya Agara, or the shackles of sex life. I just want to read out a little bit from Srimad Bhagavad Gita about this nature of the lust. Sorry, one moment. So this is in the end of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, starting from verse 38. As fire is covered by smoke, as mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy, in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind and intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning curb this great symbol of sin, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Lust is here described as a destroyer of self-realization. And as we heard before, also in today's verse, it is degrading our consciousness and impelling us to act sinful, careless, what kind of reactions we will get, which kind of karma we will earn by that activities. So that's a little bit to the nature of lust. But Srila Prabhupada, he says something very nice. In the purport to this last verse, 3:41, that I read, lust is only the perverted reflection of love of God, which is natural for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So I will read that last sentence again. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life or from the time of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord. and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of human life. So Srila Prabhupada here explains the origin of that lust. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna explains that this material world is compared to a banyan tree that has its roots upwards and branches down. And basically, we can also perceive such a tree in this material world if we look in the water and we see the reflection of a tree. Let's say there's one tree close to a sea, to a lake, and then you can see the upside down the tree who's upside down. But this is not the reality. And this we need to understand, that this lust, which is conceived from living entities, material living entities, to be the topmost pleasure of material life, is actually the reflection of love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. And Srila Prabhupada and the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, are actually there to re-inform us, to help us to understand that our goal of human life, particularly in the human life form, where we have intelligence and we can understand the Shastra, that we should utilize it for self-realization. Is it okay? Yeah, thank you. So Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit further that we commit sins out of ignorance. So therefore Srila Prabhupada gave us so many scriptures, he translated them, so that we can get the value of the Vedic knowledge which comes down, transmitted by Lord Sri Krishna himself, Sri Gopinath, for our benefit. We can understand that we see, for example, Arjuna. He is driving the chariot in the middle of both armies, and then Krishna is speaking the whole Bhagavad Gita in the middle of both armies. It was not only in a private conversation, but Krishna was publicly declaring all the supreme truths, basically. Okay. So therefore, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. And this is one verse of Bhagavad Gita 7:29. That is very significant, because one could ask, okay, but you know, why I should become Krishna conscious if I still didn't get it? Why? You know, why should I adopt this process? Srila Prabhupada says here that particularly for avoiding old age and death. These are kind of miseries that are unavoidable, and not even the material scientists, which are called by some people the gods in white, like the highest supreme materialistic authority, so to say, even they cannot solve these problems. But Krishna consciousness can solve that problem. But it is there for intelligent persons who want to see the reality, and persons who don't want to close their eyes in the face of suffering of different degrees and varieties. Because it's important to understand that this word is Dukkhalayama Shashvatam. So then, as a kind of bridge to Srila Prabhupada's great Vaishnava compassion and his contribution, there's also something mentioned in the beginning of this chapter summary. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Nana Yoni Sadapi Re, the living entity passes through various species. Karaya Bhakshanakare, he is obliged to eat and enjoy abominable things. Tara Jamma Adapate Yaya, in this way his whole life is spoiled. Without the protection of an all-merciful Vaishnava, the conditioned soul cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. So this is simply not possible. Because, as we heard before, Daivi Yesha Guna Mayi, the laws of material nature are so strong that we cannot overcome them by our own endeavors. We need to take shelter of a person who is free from these influences. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse, explains just when one is bound by ropes. For example, sometimes you see in a movie or some, you know, that some person is bound, so he cannot free himself. He needs the help of somebody who is not bound to help him to free his tights. So, now, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. just to remember Srila Prabhupada's focus, you know, during his whole time of preparation, when he was still in India, and when he came on board of the ship Jaladuta to America, he wrote a poem to Lord Krishna. And I want to read this again. It's called Makandine Bhagavata Dhamma. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, but I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev, Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know that your curseless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it's up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So, if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you've brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th September 1965. So here is a very nice example, actually, about this Vaishnava compassion. That without the causeless mercy of a devotee, we will not be able to understand, first of all, our real position that we have in the material world. We will not be able to understand anything without that knowledge. Therefore, it's called Shastra Shakshush. We need to develop that vision. And even in this prayer, Makandine Bhagavata Dhamma, Srila Prabhupada, in his own verse, paraphrases passage from Srimad Bhagavatam where the impact of devotional service is described. What will happen when one constantly hears the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, serves the devotees, then gradually one becomes cleansed of the lower modes of passion and ignorance and thus becomes situated in the mode of goodness. One can gain some insight into that understanding. Another little bit about Srila Prabhupada's compassion. This is by Bali Madan Prabhu. He wrote something. And he said, "One night in Prabhupada's apartment, I awoke from a sound sleep about 1:30 a.m. to the ring of Prabhupada's bell. Entering his room, which was dark, except for a reading light on a small podium, Srila Prabhupada was sitting reading from a large red Bhagavatam. He motioned for me to sit down. His voice cracking and tears forming in his eyes, he began talking to me about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj and the true meaning of being a Vaishnava. Sorry. He talked about how Prahlad's son, how Prahlad's only desire was for others, to be rescued from this world of birth and death. He described the compassion of the Vaishnava for the fallen souls, and seeing how hard he worked to spread Krishna consciousness, I could feel his own heart overflowing with this intense form of Vaishnava love. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. So now I want to say a little bit about Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission. This is also taken from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. It's the prelude to chapter 16, which is called Free to Preach. And this is actually from a lecture from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says, "Here I am now sitting in New York, in the world's greatest city, such a magnificent city. But my heart is always hankering after that Vrindavan. I shall be very happy to return to my Vrindavan, that sacred place. But then, why are you here? Now, because it is my duty. I have brought some message for you people, because I have been ordered by my superior, my spiritual master. Whatever you have learned, you should go to the Western countries, and you must distribute this knowledge. So, in spite of all my difficulties, all my inconveniences, I'm here, because I'm obliged by duty." I don't know if I can communicate this. I hope and I pray for it. That by associating with these books, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, or also this the Transcendental Diary from Harishauri Prabhu. So when we hear from the life of the pure devotee, my Guru Maharaj says that the pure devotee and the Bhagavatam, they are non-different. So therefore we can see how the Acharya is acting in his daily life, right? So I want to encourage everybody and inspire everybody to read these books, trying to somehow add them to the daily reading quota or something, because it is so important. Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and we are part of that mission. And to understand this mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, we need to have some connection with him, which of course also comes by reading his purports and everything, but sometimes really helps to gain a bigger picture. Like here, for example, in Harishauri Prabhu's Transcendental Diary, he happened to be the servant of Srila Prabhupada, and he would very elaborately note down the different things that happened to Srila Prabhupada. Like in the morning, Srila Prabhupada, he would give a class, then after class he would answer some letters and receive guests, and then so on, you know. So usually Srila Prabhupada, to observe Srila Prabhupada through this spectacle of these books, means to really see that the life of the pure devotee is non-different from Shastra. It's not that he is acting whimsically. Therefore we can try to intensify our own spiritual practice, our sadhana, by seeking out better association. Yesterday in the evening in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita class, the last verse of the 7th chapter, 7:30, also stresses that same point. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he says that we need the transcendental association of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, and also the association of the devotees. And just one small add from my personal realization, because I really, the last couple of weeks or months since I'm allowed to be here in your blessed association and holy association, I gain so much appreciation for the association of the devotees, which can really uplift one and get one out of one's of the mind's automatism, and really uplift one to the level of devotion and inspire one. But then it's not only by association from outside, but actually we also need to be good association for ourselves. How is that? Because usually we have our mind trying to rule us, trying to deviate us. Because since so many lifetimes, again and again, we have come here in the material world, in different species of life, trying to enjoy. And the mind is ruling the senses. So therefore, in order to be good association for our own mind even, we need to be strong and have a strong taste in Krishna consciousness. This is a very important another point, that we can only overcome this lust by actually gaining a higher taste. Where is it? Oh. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita exactly the same thing, that one cannot overcome the lower passions or lust just by renouncing them. Actually, one needs to overcome them by gaining a higher taste. So this is, one moment, I'll read the verse for you. 59. This is in second chapter, verse 59. Vishaya vinivartanti niraharasya dehina rasavaram asupyasya parandrushtva nevartate. Translation. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But choosing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So this is the only way how we can overcome this very strong impetus for sex life, which is very deep-rooted. And particularly in today's Srimad Bhagavatam purport, this is mentioned, which kind of force this urge is, and how degrading. So an intelligent person should take advantage from the scriptures, from the Transcendental Association, and try his best to practice devotional service more intensely. And now I want to finish this class by just recalling, reading a little bit from the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, when Srila Prabhupada actually founded ISKCON. It's quite interesting. Srila Prabhupada, he had in the spring, when he was still living in the Bowery, he had already been initiating the legal work to incorporate the Society for Krishna Consciousness. And this is actually something that was very similar to his previous endeavor when he was still in India, and he was founding this League of the Devotees. He was always aiming in the same direction. He had that goal. And we need the goal in our devotional practice. We need to know, okay, I want Krishna Prema. I want to get out of here, to have a sufficient impetus that can help us to overcome the temptations that are there, and sometimes our sadhana is not so strong or something. So we need to have some goal. Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that disturbance is only due to a lack of a goal. So if one has a goal, one is much more successful, and this is even valid in the material world. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada on the 11th of July was giving a class, Bhagavad Gita class, and then suddenly he says, "All right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask anything." Mr. Goldsmith stands, and to the surprise of the people gathered, he makes a short announcement asking for signers on an incorporation document for the Swami's new religious movement. Prabhupada, "They are present here. You can take their addresses now." Mr. Goldsmith, "I can take them now, yes." Prabhupada, "Yes, you can. Bill, you can give your address. And Raphael, you can give yours. And Don, Roy, Mr. Greeny." As the meeting breaks up, those called on to sign as trustees come forward, standing around in a little storefront, waiting to leave cursorily through the pages the lawyer has produced from his thin attaché, and to sign as he directs. Yet no one soul among them is committed to Krishna consciousness. Mr. Goldsmith meets his quota of signers, a handful of sympathizers, with enough reverence toward the Swami to want to help him. No one seriously intends to undertake any formal duties as a trustee of the religious society, but they are happy to help the Swami by signing his fledgling society into legal existence. So why? Srila Sattvarupa Maharaj is asking. So for tax exemption, in case someone gives a big donation and for other benefits an official religious society might receive. But these purposes hardly seem urgent or even relevant to the present situation. Who is going to make donations? Except maybe for Mr. Goldsmith, who has any money. But Prabhupada is planning for the future, and he is planning for much more than just tax exemption. He is trying to serve his spiritual predecessors and fulfill the scriptural prediction of a spiritual movement that is to flourish for 10,000 years in the midst of the age of Kali. Within the vast Kali age, a period which is to last 432,000 years, the 1960s are but an insignificant moment. The Vedas describe that the same time of the universe revolves through the cycles. Anyway, this may be not so important. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada, in his purposes to ISKCON, he stresses the same things, or very similar things, that he previously also gave in the prospectus for the League of Devotees, which he formed in Jhansi. And although Srila Prabhupada's attempt at that time had been unsuccessful, still he was unbewildered and Ekiya Kurunandana. He was focused on his goal. You know, even though so many challenges came. And so we can also relate to that because we have so many challenges in our own small spiritual life. You know, what to speak of the real Vaishnava compassion, but at least this is one stage we can attain in the process. And Srila Prabhupada, he's the founder Acharya, and he's setting the example of what it means to become a devotee. Devotee means it's not only interested for his own liberation, even for the direct service of Krishna, but as we saw in the example of Prahlad Maharaj, that Srila Prabhupada felt so close to, he was concerned about the welfare of all the other living entities. Okay, so now I got some sign, we have to stop here. If there are any questions or comments or critics, please feel free to raise your hand. The punishment for illicit sex. Well, Srimad Bhagavatam describes this, I think it's in the fifth canto, isn't it? Fifth canto or seventh canto? I'm not sure. Fifth. So that's been described that, let's say, a man embraces a woman, right? And has sex life with her. So then, when he's not duly married and not for the purpose of regulated sex life, for the purpose of recreation, of God-conscious children, then it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, that he will be cast down into a hell where he will have to embrace a woman out of copper that is glowing hot. So this is very interesting. Of course, the women has the other counterparts, you know, so... yeah, but we need to know these things. And it's not that we want to terrify everybody that, you know, you have to be pious, otherwise you go to hell. This is not working, because really we rather focus on developing that higher taste to overcome these lower passions, right? So, but also Srila Prabhupada in today's purport, he said that it's very reasonable, actually. He said that if somebody is engaged in that activity, then he impregnates a woman, and then there has to be some abortion or something, you know. So then, later on, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the next life, they will have to suffer the same again. They will have to be put into the womb of a woman and be aborted. So this is very practical. And even in the Bible, we hear this, eye for eye, or teeth for teeth. So this is how we can learn. There's different kinds of learning procedures, right? We can learn. First-class intelligence means, okay, immediately you hear something and it's enough. You know, okay, better I don't do it. Better I don't break the law. But sometimes the intelligence is second class or third class. Second class means, okay, first of all, I have to experience the punishment, and then I learn. Like some people say, maybe goose stealing or something, then they have to be put into the prison, and then they learn, oh yeah, it's not good to go in the prison, I don't have any freedom there, it's all nasty associations, so better I stop that stealing business. But still, another kind of person, he's even less intelligent, third-class intelligent, he, even though he was committing some sinful activity, he got punished, but still he cannot change his habit, he's still addicted to that. So therefore it's important that Srila Prabhupada says we need this knowledge, and this is Srila Prabhupada's mission. He came to give us something. He came to give us the knowledge of the Vedas, his Vaishnava love and compassion and so many things. Is it okay? Well, this is not valid. There's so many species of life and so many... you don't need to bother about that. Be sure there will be always enough people. You know, rather we should focus, actually, rather than focus outside of ourselves and see, yeah, you know, the other people, they're also jumping down the bridge, so I should also jump. You know, this is nonsense. A sane person should understand, no, I should maintain my life, I should utilize it to gain the best what I can get, right? So rather I learn from that and be concerned with myself rather than with others, you know, to have an excuse, oh, everybody is sinning, so, you know, doesn't mind, you know. No. Yad acharati shreshtas. It means whatever example we are setting, everyone else will follow. And everybody of us is an example for others. So how can we be responsible if we just let ourselves, allow ourselves to sin and everything besides the reactions? This is also another reaction that we get. When we don't act properly, people will also be inspired not to act properly. And we will be responsible for them too. Another question? Yeah. Or of a fly. That's true. Actually, in the temple room when we chant, there's so many flies, you know. And they just jump on each other and, you know. So I was really thinking that this is exactly like the material life. You just try to satisfy your senses as much as you can, even though the other person doesn't like it, still. And then it's even more tasty, you know, this stupid mentality of the flies, you know. But it is also a guru for us. We can also learn from this. The pigeon, they have all the time, they're looking for that, you know, so they have much, much more suitable bodies for that. And actually in the human form of life, the bodies are so limited. How much sex life one can enjoy? First of all, it's a lot of work, you know, to get the pleasure from sex life. Then, when it's completely exhausted afterwards, the happiness is just temporarily, it's just a friction of a moment. Yeah, something like that, even less. And I even heard, you know, that if you really want to cook it down and to really become clear about what it means, you know, the culmination of this sex life actually is like a kind of nervous breakdown for the nerves. So basically it's just too much for the system, and then we feel some relief. So, but this relief, similar to intoxication, for example, does not exactly solve one's problems. So in order to solve one's problems, one has to look at them first of all, understand that, yes, this is my problem and I need to do something about it. So one can either be reactive and be under the influence of the modes and say that, oh, I'm the victim and, you know, everybody is nasty to me. Or one can also take a proactive stand and say that, no, you know, I know this is my problem, okay, what can I do to serve it, to solve it? Where is the person I can approach to speak to and... I don't know, whatever is necessary and is required. And then gradually we can overcome this process of anatta nivritti and become more steadily situated in Krishna consciousness, become steady, nishtha, gaining firm faith. And this firm faith Srila Prabhupada also exemplified. He had such a strong faith in the holy name, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is what he gave to us. So this is only refuge, the compassion of a pure devotee, and Srila Prabhupada is still available to us. It's amazing how much his disciples have worked to keep Srila Prabhupada there for us, right? They wrote so many books and, you know, recorded all his lectures and everything. For whom? For us. Okay, so something else? Otherwise I'll stop here. I'm sorry, sometimes a little bit intense. Grand Hare Krishna Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Ki Jai.